And tonight, I have a question. Have we ever considered what vanity is? What vanity is? You might have some thoughts about it. You know, we know that vanity is not a good thing. Maybe we think of someone, you know, they are vain. They think too much of their looks. We know it's not a good thing. Maybe I know we're not to be vain. We know we're not to have vain talking. But tonight, what about vain religion? Vain religion. What about that? And tonight, we're going to examine our religion this evening. And religion is something that's a pattern of worshiping the Lord. Now, I'm using religion in the sense of not necessarily a religious system that we're trusting in, but we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But a religion is how we worship Him, is our doctrine, is our practices, and our lifestyle before the Lord. And tonight, is our religion genuine or is it a vain religion? Vain religion is very easy to come by. We see it's very popular today. And we can believe all the right things. We can even look the part. But is our religion genuine? Is our relationship with God genuine? And in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 113 tonight, we see an important lesson. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse 113 this evening. And God's Word says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art mine hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Let's take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Let us bow in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. And Lord, I pray that tonight we would have religion that is genuine. Not vain religion, not fake religion, but Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us tonight, that you direct us in your word. We pray that you would bless the Wednesday night program tonight, the Answers Club for the young people. We pray that you would teach them much and that you would open up their hearts and that we would be able to disciple them and bring them up, dear Lord, and teach them thy word. I pray that if any are not saved here tonight or in the class this evening, that, Lord, as they hear the gospel, that it would begin to permeate their heart and they begin to understand their need of a Savior. We pray thy blessing. Give me the words to say tonight. Help me, Lord, to be concise and to be clear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled, Vain Religion. Vain Religion. Psalm 119, beginning of verse 113, we see something. And first we're going to look at an understanding of vanity. What is vanity? Maybe we have some ideas from our culture of what vanity is, or maybe we've learned some things in church. And there's more to vanity than just caring too much about what you look like. There's more to vanity. That's more of a symptom of what vanity is instead of what the source of it is. And it's not necessarily this particular action, but the thought process behind caring too much what you look like. And here's a definition of vanity. Vanity means emptiness. Want of substance to satisfy desire. Uncertainty, fruitless desire or endeavor. So there are all kinds of vain things that we can be involved with. But here we see in Psalm 119, verse 113, David has a statement to make. It says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. I hate vain thoughts. Well, what is he talking about? All of us have vain thoughts. All of us have empty thoughts that come into our head or profitless, we would say. Does it mean if I have vain thoughts, it means I'm not thinking about anything? No, it means you're thinking about things that are not fruitful spiritually, that are not helping you in your walk with God, that are not helping you in your walk with God. And there are all kinds of vain things that we can be involved with. Now, I'm talking about empty things, things that don't satisfy desire. The world is full of things that are to satisfy our desires. We are in an instant gratification society. We learned a little bit about this in Sunday school Sunday morning. Oh, by the way, come for Sunday school on Sunday morning, using the same curriculum we're using on the Wednesday night program. It's a great study, so please come to that. If you don't usually come, I highly encourage it. It'll help you a lot. Commercial's done. Moving on. So there are all kinds of vain things we can be involved with. Empty things, and the world's full of things. You know, we can go down the list. You know why? The Walmart, everyone loves Walmart, right? Because you can get anything there. You can literally get anything. I mean, if you ever watch VeggieTales, I don't know if you ever saw the one that has Stuff Mart in it, right? That's pretty much the, the same one, the same type of thing. Sometimes you go to Sam's Club. How many like going to Sam's Club? Ever been there? Never been to Sam's Club. For those of you that have been there, isn't it great that you can get so much for so little, right? Get these big, huge things, get all kinds of things. But at Walmart, I would say, I don't know, maybe a percentage, maybe half, maybe a little bit more, of things that are there you don't need. Right? There's a bunch of things that you don't need. And you know what? The clearance section is a great place to go because that's all the things that Walmart doesn't need and they don't want, right? You can get them for a cheap price. But I would say in most stores, in the mall, probably 60 to 70% of what's in the mall is not what, has nothing that you need. But in this life, there are so many things that we don't need, but that we want. We can fill our things with all kinds of vain things. Sports is one. People make a lifetime out of playing sports, professional sports, and they go through and they make all kinds of money, and guess what? It doesn't satisfy them. They end up in crime or end up in different things like that. It didn't satisfy them. Another thing that we can get involved in as a Christian, that is social media. Social media has a lot of vain things to it. Emptiness doesn't profit anything. Now, there's some things you can do that help people. Maybe you can lead someone to Christ over social media. Maybe you can communicate with a missionary. You know, those things are fruitful, but the mass majority, I say for over 90% of it, is not anything that profits. It's empty. It's vain. Gossiping is a vain thing. It's a fruitless thing. It's only going to bring bad in your life. It's not going to bring anything good, etc. Well, I go on and on and on. And we go through our thinking and think of all the things that are vain, that are empty. Now, David makes a statement that should get our attention. He makes a statement about hating vain thinking. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now, I'm going to camp on this a little bit tonight. In vain religion, do we take into captivity the thoughts that are vain in our mind, or do we live by them? Do we act on them? If we do, then we may have vain religion tonight. Empty religion, something that doesn't satisfy. Now, how do you know if you have vain religion? Let me ask you something tonight. Are you satisfied with your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you satisfied with the Bible? Are you satisfied in your Bible study? Are you satisfied in what you've been learning and growing? Are you satisfied where you are at with God? If not, then your religion is vain. Then you need to get to a genuine place of relationship, either with Christ to be saved, or you need to get to a place of genuine religion, a genuine practice of life, of a lifestyle in Christ. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But tonight you may be thinking something. Well, what's the harm in thinking about things? Right? What's the harm? Vain thoughts enter into our mind. What's the problem with dwelling on those things? Well, look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. And there are all kinds of things that the devil tries to throw in our mind, tries to throw into our life, that are vain, that are empty, that don't profit, that should be cast out. And Proverbs 23, verse number 7, tells us something, that if we take those thoughts and we integrate them into our mind, and we integrate them into our life, and we begin to think on them, to meditate on them. Now we know in Psalm 119, we're to meditate on God's Word. And to, you know what? God's Word is God, or they are God's thoughts. Remember that. God's Word is not just a rule book. These are the thoughts of God. And that we are to meditate on those thoughts, not on the vain ones. But Proverbs 23, verse number 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So, as a person thinks, that's who they really are. Meaning, if you're thinking about something, you're eventually going to go in that direction. If you're thinking about doing wrong, you're going to end up doing it. Right? If you think about, well, I'm going to, you know, maybe you're on a diet and you know that that chocolate ice cream is in the refrigerator, in the freezer. But I'm not supposed to eat it. But you sit there all day long and you think about having a bowl of chocolate ice cream with whipped cream and a cherry. You think all day long. And what do you think is going to happen when you get home? You're going to go right to that freezer and get that tub of chocolate ice cream. No, Pastor, I have more willpower than that. Okay, maybe wait an hour or two. But eventually, you get there. This is the problem with people who have addictions, alcohol, the pornography, the drugs. They think about it all the time. They can't wait till they can get it next. Instead of casting out the vain thoughts. Having victory in the Christian life starts with having victory up here. Because this is where the devil attacks us. Yes, he attacks us in a physical realm as well, but he attacks us here in our thoughts, and he throws vain thoughts there. So tonight's, what can be the harm in thinking? David, understand what the harm of thinking was. Isn't that how it all started with Bathsheba? It began with seeing and thinking and lusting, and then he did. I hate vain thinking. I don't know when this was written. This might have been after this had happened. We don't know the timeline of when this was written, of when God had him write this down. But we do know this. They said, I hate vain thinking. Well, why is that? Well, let's look at number two, the temptation of vain thinking. David said he hated it. Why? Well, let's think about something. What do we know about David? Well, we know one thing is that he loved the law of the Lord. We see that in Psalm 119 and many other psalms where he says the same thing over and over and over again. We see that in verse number 97 of Psalm 119. Let's look there really quickly, just up the page. He says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So he says, I hate vain thinking, but then I love the law of God. So don't you think hate and love are on the opposite ends of the spectrum? Those that we love and we care about, and then there's those that we hate. You know, we shouldn't hate people, by the way, but we should hate sin. Amen. And what David is hating is at the opposite end of the spectrum of God's word. There's no such thing as an innocent thought. There's no such thing as an innocent thought. Did you know that? Well, it was innocent to me. Just remember who you are. We're all sinful and rotten to the core. So that which is innocent to us is sinful to God. Vain and empty thinking. Empty of all spiritual profit. Empty of God. Empty of His Word. And those things, David says, I hate them. But I love God's Word. He loved the Word of God. Therefore, he hates that which is opposed to the law of God. And it's safe to say that vain thinking is in opposition to the divine law of God. Remember that God's law is divine, and God's law is holy and just. People look at it, well, the law is not something we ought to live by. Now, the law can't get you saved, but the law can show you that you're a sinner. And show also what God expects out of us, Romans chapter 7 and verse number 12. You know, you hear preachers sometimes, they get down on the law of God. So, well, the law is a terrible thing. It's a scourge and all of this. Ah, what did Paul say? Because the Romans were getting like that. And he wrote to them and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And God says, wait a minute. Remember what my law is, Romans 7 verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. God's law is holy and perfect. So let's not say, well, and you know, that's what who calls the law of God bad and a terrible thing is the liberal people who wish to throw it out and say you can do whatever you want in church. You know, you got to make something wrong in order to get rid of it. Amen. Amen. You got to show what's wrong with it so you can get rid of it. Instead of looking at God's word as it truly is. Now, instead of empty thinking, he trusted in the Lord. Now, look at verse number 14 of Psalm, 114 and Psalm 119, the verse after. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. He was not going to trust in things that did not work. You know, so many Christians, they trust in things that don't work. They trust in themselves. They trust in the pill bottle. They trust in a friend. They trust in a spouse. They trust in their kids. Or they trust in any. You can fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. If it isn't God and His Word, it won't work. If you're not trusting in your day-to-day life in Jesus Christ and walking daily with Him and walking in His Word, it's vain. It won't work. It won't satisfy what you desire. It won't satisfy what you need in your heart and in your spirit and your soul. It won't satisfy it. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. And if you're not satisfied and you're trusting in other things, then your religion is vain. David was not going to trust in things that did not work. David was not going to trust in himself. We look very often at the account of David and Goliath. And David is very quick to say it was God who gave him the power to do that, not himself. It was God who delivered that lion and that bear into his hand when he was watching those sheep. It was God who delivered Goliath into his hand. Remember, when he was even challenging Goliath, he said, My God will deliver you into my hand. They said, I'm not going to deliver you into my own hand. God's going to do it. He knew who to trust in. He was not going to trust in anyone or anything else but Jesus Christ. All other thinking is vain, empty, and fruitless. And when the devil comes to us and puts thoughts into our minds, so why don't you trust in yourself? Why don't you trust in, you know, and that's exactly what he tells you when you say, when you're trying to get up to read the Word of God and meditate on the law of God. And he says, well, you don't need to read today. You'll be just fine. That's a vain thought. You know why? It's to trust in yourself. And you know, when you think that thought, you should be getting to the Word of God all the faster that morning. You should be getting to your knees all the faster that morning because the devil's after you already. But you know what? We like to be told that we're strong enough. Right? You know that we like that? That we're smart enough. That we're strong enough. That we're able to do it. That we're able to overcome anything and be strong and look within ourselves and overcome. You know, we like that because our flesh likes it. But guess what? God doesn't like it because we are turning away from Him and we're rebelling against Him. And so, well, I'm not doing anything rebellious. Yes, you are in your heart. You're thinking those things. That is rebellion against God instead of thinking less of ourselves and more of God and walking with Him consistently. We are having vain religion. We're trusting in ourselves. Now let me ask you this. Is a thought process you are using every single day bearing fruit? Let me ask you something. Is your walk with God today bearing fruit? Has it borne fruit? Well, we begin to stutter in our mind and our thoughts. Is it? Well, yes. I've been going to church faithfully. That's great. But that's not having a fruitful life. Well, I tithe. That's not always having a fruitful life. I love what Brother Reardon brought out last week. There's lots of unsaved people that tithe every week. There's lots of unsaved people that go to church every week. There's lots of unsaved people, JWs. Those people aren't saved. And they go out every single week and try to win people to their religious system. But they're not saved. So that is not the mark of having spiritual fruit. Anybody can do that. What spiritual fruit is that which is in the inside in our life. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. A closeness with God. Answered prayer. When was the last time God answered one of your prayers? Well, it's been a long time. Then your religion is vain. Your religion's empty. How do we get it back? You know, we have to understand something. As Christians, we have a great responsibility placed upon us. We live in a society, a religious society, that puts no responsibility on any Christian anywhere. That you can just come to church. I've trusted in Christ to save me from hell, and I've trusted in God, and I read my Bible occasionally, and I come in, and from the pulpits of our country, not one ounce of responsibility has been placed upon the Christian. Now, one ounce of responsibility has been placed upon us. We have a responsibility before God to be fruitful. The command was given to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Over and over again, that command was given. But it is the desire of Christ, if you look in John, to abide in Him and bear fruit. To those that don't bear fruit, they are cut off. If you think of husbandry, if you have a vineyard that has grapes, and we have trees around here, we have rose bushes over here, roses are the same, if you're familiar with roses, that many times they'll grow many, many shoots off of them, off of the bush, especially in the springtime. But you have to prune it, because what will happen is that the plant will grow so much, it will use all of its energy growing, that it will not use any of its energy to reproduce. And there'll be no flowers. If there's no flowers, then it can't reproduce and make other plants. So you have to prune it back so that it'll grow, because eventually if it goes unrestrained, it'll die. The bushes out front of the entrance of the church, those have to be pruned every single year. Right now they've grown very tall, but if I leave them like that and they're left like that, they'll turn brown and die and the plant will go dormant. And it won't have any new shoots in the springtime until you cut it back. And it's interesting, as soon as you cut it back, it begins to grow again. But in the vineyard, if a branch is not bringing forth, maybe it has leaves on it, but it's not bringing forth fruit, it is pruned off because it is taking away energy from the plant and it's not doing anything. Now look at Mark chapter 11. And we will see what Jesus thinks of vain religion. What Jesus thinks of a lack of fruitfulness. What Jesus thinks of empty Christianity. Mark chapter 11, and beginning in verse number 12. And on the morrow, when they were come to from Bethany, he was hungry, speaking of Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And when they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers in the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were as astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Sounded kind of astonished that it actually happened. Verse number 22, and Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and thou shalt no doubt in his heart, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what is he talking about here? Jesus came to this fig tree. Now, it wasn't the time for figs. So why did Jesus cause it to wither away? Because he wanted to use it as an illustration of what he was about to do. He went into the temple and cast out the money changers. You know who he cast out of the temple? The religious crowd. They came to the temple faithfully. They came, and what they had done is they decided to make religion easy. They came as money changers, meaning that basically, as you go into any country, you have a particular type of money. If you have U.S. dollars and you go to a different country that has a different type of money, you need to change your money. And you need to change into that particular currency. And so that's what these people were doing. Now, this could have been done anywhere else, but they wanted to make religion easy for those that were traveling from other parts of the world. And so they had that right inside the temple, so then they could buy the doves or buy the different types of sacrifices there, so they wouldn't have to bring their own. Because you got to remember that they were supposed to bring their own. And so they had decided, well, let's just make this easier. Let's make this more convenient for people. And instead of doing it the way God said, they decided to do it their own way. And Jesus drove them out. Why? And the fig tree was an example of this, that they looked like they were religious on the outside. And everyone said, well, they believe the right things. They believe in the King James Version of the Bible. They believe in the deity of Christ. They believe in all of the doctrines of fundamentalists in the Baptist church. But the religion is vain. Why? Because they do not have faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe they come to the Bible and they believe that they can have some type of religious system, but then still think what they will on the inside. The Pharisees, they thought they had a great religious system. They had the right doctrine. You know, if you look at the doctrine of the Pharisees, their doctrine was not incorrect. The Sadducees' doctrine was incorrect. They were the liberals of the day. They did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in many different things, but the Pharisees did. But they did one thing wrong. They trusted in their religion instead of in the coming Messiah. And those that were in the temple, they had a decision to make. They had to either to say, well, get a wake-up call to their vain religion and to fix it. Instead, they plotted to kill the very Son of God because he dared to challenge their vain thinking, their empty religion. So what are the dangers of vain thinking? You may be here tonight and religion is vain. Will you make it genuine tonight? How do I do that? One answer here, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Vain religion is being trusting in self. Trusting in what I can do instead of giving all to Jesus Christ. The dangers of vain thinking. Vain thoughts lead to vain actions and vain words. And we have to bring into captivity those thoughts which are vain. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. Vain thoughts, if we think on them and meditate on them, we will do them. But what are we to do when those thoughts enter in? The devil brings them. And remember, the devil is the master of vain talking. The devil is the master of inserting vain thoughts into our minds. David even had trouble with this, but his love for God was not shaken. He said, I hate those thoughts. He threw them out for the scourge that they were. Now look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the vain thoughts that come into our mind is that there are all kinds of things. And every single one of them, doesn't matter what they are, those vain thoughts that come from the pit of hell, they go against, they say, God doesn't know what he's talking about. They exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, and they will try to exalt you. They'll try to get you in the driver's seat, to get you on the throne of your life, instead of letting Jesus Christ be on the throne of your heart. What will vain thoughts lead us to? Well, if we have a self-centered theology and a self-centered everything is for me, everything is centered around my happiness and everything is centered around. That's why people go off into sin, because they're convinced it'll make them happy. If they knew what it would really bring them, they wouldn't do it. But because they believe that it'll make them happy and that God's way isn't the only way and that I can do things my way, they have given in to vain thinking. They've given in to that. And when things go wrong, you know what they do? They accuse God. They doubt God. Even some of those who are atheists, they even hate God. Because it's all God's fault that it all fell apart. It's all God's fault that I was judged. It was all God's fault, all of this. Because it's a self-serving religion and it's vain. Religion is not to serve you. Do you know something? That life is not all about you. It's not all about me. Actually, our life on this earth has nothing to do with us. Absolutely nothing to do with us. You know, we bristle at that. We don't like that. Because I like the devil's version better. The vain thought, I deserve this. Well, I deserve that. I think I should be able to. I deserve this. You know what you deserve is the pit of hell because you've rebelled against the Heavenly Father, the Holy God, the Creator of all things, because of our sin. That's what we deserve. And if we get into this vain thinking, we begin to think that even church is all about me. That the Bible is all about me. That even the sacrifice of Jesus is all about me. Oh, look how great person I am. No, Jesus died because he loved you, not because you were worth anything. Not because we're able to do anything for him, but our life is to be all about God. Vain thinking will lead us to accuse God, doubt God, even hate God, and those things will come out of our vain talking. It'll also lead to a terrible pretense of religion. It leads to vain salvation. If you came to Jesus Christ just so that you could be saved from the pit of hell, and you had no sorrow over your sin, and you just wanted to make sure that you were on your way there, and that you could live the way you wanted to, and do whatever you wanted to do, then you are not saved. your salvation is vain. It's empty. And when, there's an interesting thought, I was listening to a preacher, and he brought this out. He says, I don't ask people whether they know the Lord. Lots of people know the Lord. He says, but I ask them, does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you? What does it say in the Gospels? He said, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, you knew all about me. You tried to serve me with your life, but your religion was vain. Your salvation was vain. It was a self-serving salvation, trying to use God to whatever we can get out of life, instead of turning to Jesus Christ to be our Savior and our be-all and our end-all. Not for us, but so that we might bring glory to Him. That also brings vain service. If your religion is vain, you may have vain salvation. Maybe you have genuine salvation, but it'll lead us to vain service. Why do you serve Jesus Christ? Is it so you can obey Him and love Him? Or say, hey, I want to be blessed. Right? We all want to be blessed. If I serve God, then He's going to bless my life. Then we're no different than the health and wealth gospel people that get up there. If you serve God and you pay this little bit, God's going to make you a millionaire. Because you're serving for you. You're not serving for God. If I do this for God, He's going to do something for me. God is not a deal maker. God is not a genie in the bottle. Will He bless you? Yes, but that's a byproduct, not the source of it. We do it because we love Him, because He died for us. Amen. That's why we serve Him. And also a vain sacrifice. We give so much and we give up so much for God. And now I've sacrificed so much of my life and I've separated myself. I'm a separated fundamentalist. So that you might impress God. Let me tell you something here right now. You can't impress God. There's no way that in our puny existence here on earth that we can impress He who made it all. He who made us. There's nothing that we can do to impress Him. But we can love Him. David's religion was real and not vain. He did all to obey God. He did all to bring glory to God, though through all that he did. But not for his glory. And Solomon got the lesson. Solomon got the lesson. You know what? When God said, I'll give you anything that you ask. And he said, I need wisdom so that I may lead the so great a people for God's glory. You know what? God said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for fame, but you asked for wisdom, I will give you that, but then I will add all of these things to you. And so he made him rich, so he got blessed. You know why? So God would be glorified. Because it wasn't Solomon's wisdom, it was God's wisdom. And God's wisdom brought the blessing. It was God was being brought the glory there. There was the Reformation brought forth many wonderful preachers. But their purpose was this. It was a Latin phrase that is still said today. Solo de la gloria. All for the glory of God. I believe we need to get back to that. That our religion is all for the glory of God. It has nothing to do with us. That we bring God the glory in all that we do. That we bring God the glory in our religion, in our relationship with Him. And it's about Him and not about us. Don't fall into the trap of vain religion by falling into vain thinking. The only truth is that of God's Word. Follow Christ alone. Have faith in God, as Jesus said. Trust in Him. Don't trust in yourself. And those that tried to get David to turn to this vain way of thinking, perhaps to a counselor or someone, you know what they said in verse 115? Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. You're trying to get me to go in the vain way? I'm not going to do it. Because I have something that is real. And a real relationship with God. And real religion. And that which God wants every Christian to have. So tonight, is religion vain? Is there a desire in your soul for something more in your relationship with God? It begins with that your relationship with God is not all about you. Your service to God is not all about you. Your salvation is not all about you. It's about Him. God saved us to bring Himself glory. Not because we were worth saving, because He loved us. And so tonight, will we trade in the vain religion for the real thing? Or will you sit there and plot as the Pharisees did? How you might destroy the truth of the message tonight. You might destroy and wheedle your way out of it. But the truth remains. That fig tree that looked so good on the outside, it had leaves and it was looked so good. Oh, the Pharisees looked so good. Oh, so many that sit in the pews look so good. But the religion is vain. They have no fruit. Will you be fruitful for the Lord's glory? God gets glory when you're fruitful. Oh, look at what all that I did. Oh, that's not the fruit of God. The fruit of God is for Him alone. So tonight, is your religion vain? If it is, will you ask yourself the question? If it is, make it real tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for tonight. I pray that You be with this invitation time. Oh, Lord, that we would do all for Your glory and not for ours. For, Lord, our relationship with You has nothing to do with us. It has all to do with You. I pray that this evening that we would die to self. Repeat it over and over in the Scriptures. To die to self. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about what You want. It's about obeying You and loving You. It's about serving You, for You are worthy of our service. You are worthy of our love. You are worthy of all things. I pray, dear Lord, tonight that You would bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.